Hey, and welcome to another episode of Tourism Marketing Mastery. I am your host, Eric Hattersheit, and today's episode is going to be on the three questions you need to ask if you want to become a phenomenal leader.
Hey, my name is Eric Hattersheit, and I'm part of a group of independent tourism operators that you've probably never heard of. We deliver experiences that are beyond a photo shoot. When they're not, we actually have to change our guests' lives. But because we don't have unlimited budgets like the big brands, we have to think differently. We have to be clever with our marketing. We need to reach our audiences to make the impact, but we also need to be profitable right from the start. Unfortunately, traditional education is about 20 years behind, and they aren't teaching us what we need to know. So we've decided to take matters into our own hands. We're sharing marketing tactics that work today because we are experienced masters, and what we do matters.
Okay, so I'm going to share with you the three questions that you need to ask in order to become a phenomenal leader, but I think first, let's give a little context to this podcast and what inspired it. Very quickly, I was contacted by one of our listeners in Portugal, which was awesome, and she reached out just to say thanks, really enjoying the show, really enjoying what you're bringing to the table, and I was like, that's awesome. And so what I did, I responded to her and just said, thank you for your feedback, or thank you for reaching out. If there's any question that you could ask right now, and I may or may not be able to help you with that question, what's a question you would ask, and we might talk about it on the show? And she brought a question that is a very, very challenging question. And the question that she asked was, what do you do when you've got staff and times are slow? So I don't know exactly what her situation is. I do know that she runs tours in Portugal, but I don't know whether she's got full-time staff and they have some tours going on or if they have no tours going on. But obviously, she's in a predicament along with almost everyone else, especially in the tour space. But most other people in tourism are facing that challenge. Some places are starting to come back. And so I thought, well, that's a very interesting question. Let's address this on the podcast. I'm going to reference a couple of different things I've learned over the years along the way, some of which I've learned myself. And so these three questions that I'm going to share with you guys are questions that I learned became highly, highly important when it came to what to do with staff in a crisis. And this also is going to reference other tour operators that I've talked to that are facing similar issues with staff and how to address them in a time of crisis and when cash flow is not easy to come by. So first and foremost, before I even launch into the three questions you need to ask, I would say off the bat, just in talking with other tour operators and also just my opinion myself, is if you have a position where the finances are really tight, one thing that I've seen over the years of consulting that I've done is sometimes a small business operator, they tie themselves to this problem on a very personal and very emotional level. And I totally understand that because I have been in that situation and I absolutely was tied to it emotionally. However, what can happen as a negative fallout from that is you tend to not tell your staff anything because you're hoping something will change. You're hoping something's going to come through and the cash flow is going to be there and you won't have to tell your staff. And so you wait until like 10 minutes before you're supposed to pay them and then you have to let them know there's no way that you can pay them. That is not the best course of action. It might be tempting to to be what you want to do, but that's not the best way to address this. So what I've found in the past is the best thing to do is to go to your staff and let them know exactly what is going on financially with the business. And I know a lot of individuals, that's not something they're comfortable with, is divulging the financials to the staff. But if the company's in trouble, you let the staff know. You don't have to show them the books. In my case, I actually did. I opened up the books and said, here's where we're at. Here's why we're in trouble. And now let's collectively decide as a company where we want to take this. And that kind of will evolve into my three questions here. But one of the first things that you want to do is just make sure you address the issue with your staff as soon as you know about it. As soon as you know it's an issue, you might want to bring it up with them. Then what you want to do is I would offer right off the bat, I would offer to have some kind of severance if possible, to those that want to take off, or if you can't afford the severance, at least offer an opportunity for those that don't want to be there to leave. Say, hey, I'll let you go. I'll write your letters of recommendation. But if anybody wants to jump ship, now is the time to do it. No hard feelings. And you can go. Now, in that instance, some individuals might take you up on this. And this is also a really good opportunity to trim the fat, so to speak. Thin the herd, trim the fat, whatever you want to call it. But get rid of individuals that you're not overly keen on wanting to work with. When I ran a company back in, I don't even know what years, let me say 2013, 2014, 15, something like that. I ran a global company. I had built it up. I had about 50 employees, and there came a time when the company was in a very precarious position where cash flow was extremely tight, and it came to a point where I wasn't sure whether I could pay the staff. And I gave them this opportunity. I told the staff, hey, we're in a very tight position. Here's the situation. I foresee that I'm not going to be able to pay you. I didn't beat around the bush. I was very clear about the fact that I was pretty sure that I was not going to be able to pay the staff. And so I told them, I will give you a severance if you choose to leave now, or you stick with me and there's no guarantees. You stick with me, I can't guarantee that I'm going to pay you. I can't guarantee that you're going to have any income at all this month or maybe even next month, but here's our game plan. And I went into this with a game plan and said, here's my plan on what to do. And in that situation, of those 50 staff, I only had one that actually took the severance package, took off, and the other 50 stuck with me. And we put together a plan, we busted our asses, and all of that, kudos to my staff. They absolutely pulled together. They pulled this company through. And we were able to make it through the next few months. And eventually, I didn't promise this, but I eventually was able to back pay them. Now, what led to that was in part three questions that I asked every staff member. I asked them these questions, these three questions. I asked them every single week these three questions, and I asked them for probably close to 2 years before we ran into trouble. And these are the questions I asked that led to what I believe is the loyalty that I had in my staff that stuck with me through such a tough time when none of us were getting paid and they were still working full time for me. So now you're probably wondering, what are those questions that led to that kind of loyalty and also led to this company pulling through? So the questions are, first question is, what are we doing in this business that you see that you think we should stop doing? So taking a look around from your perspective as an employee, what is it that you think that we're doing that's just foolish, that we're wasting money on, or we're wasting resources on, or we're wasting time on? And there are always things. There's always things that you can do that will allow you to just eliminate a task. There's in almost every company, I don't think I've ever gone into a company, including my own, and found things that couldn't just be eliminated because they were not important. They weren't producing revenue or going to. And they were just redundant. They'd been either something that we'd started a while ago that was working at the time but wasn't working anymore, or it was just a project that had gone on too long, or maybe we just didn't have the resources to do it, whatever it was. There was always something that you could stop. So that question, going to your staff, each one of them individually, and asking, what's something that we can stop doing? What's something we're doing right now that we should stop doing because it's not serving us? Question number two is, what do you think is something that we could start doing that would really benefit your role or the business or the company in a variety of ways? Would it add revenue? Would it make the team dynamic better? Would it allow us to be more creative? Whatever it is, like, there's a million things that you could be doing, you could start doing, that you're not doing right now. So basically it's asking them, where do you see opportunity? What's something that we could start doing that we're not doing right now? asking them that question. And then the third question is, what's something that we are doing? So we call the stop, start, keep. What's something that we are doing or we should keep doing because we're doing it really well and it's really serving you? And that gives you a really good indication of what the staff really value that you're doing in your business and what you should focus on or put more emphasis on because it's important. And sometimes it's not necessarily the things that you think are important that they'll say, you should keep doing this. So for instance, when I talk about the stop, start, keep and asking every employee every week, that was part of something that we had mandated in that company where each week at the end of the week, we had something we called the weekly pulse. And in the weekly pulse, there was a couple other questions in there, but the main three that were in there were stop, start, keep. What's something that we should stop doing? What's something we should start doing? And what's something that we should keep doing? And fairly regularly it came up that something we should keep doing is keep doing the weekly pulse because the staff could see, or the team could see that we were taking all of those ideas and we were implementing them on a fairly regular basis. We were either eliminating things or we were starting things. And so we moved very fast. We grew very fast. But the staff recognized that we were willing to listen and incorporate their opinions and their ideas. And it wasn't just the management on top. So to try and tie this all together, being in a situation where the cash flow is extremely tight, which it likely is for a lot of you right now, and if you have staff still, which, like I said, the first two things I would do is offer severance to anybody that wants to take off. The second thing is make sure that you're coming with a game plan and asking them or telling them, here's what we've got, not beating around the bush and saying, if you want to stick with me, there's no guarantees. If you don't, there's no hard feelings. And then right away, launching into stop, start, keep. What is something that we're doing? Like, things are tight right now. We need to pivot as an organization. What's something that we are doing that we should stop doing? What's something that we aren't doing that we should start thinking about doing or try? And then what's something that we are doing that we should continue doing because it's at the core of who we are and it's really benefiting us as a business or as an organization. Now, does that solve all your problems? Not necessarily. It just gives you the power of working together as a team and making sure that there's understanding and your staff feeling like they're being listened to in order to move the whole thing forward. And it's not perfect. In fact, in my case, we had more ideas than we could possibly implement. So then you have to cull ideas, and that's also tough. And there's things that people want to stop doing sometimes too that you can't stop doing, and they don't know that because of some of the responsibilities or some of the implications it has to stop that thing. So it's not necessarily going to happen like this every time, but it's something that's very, very valuable as an exercise to engage in on a regular basis with the staff that you do have. I would also take it a step beyond that, and I'm not going to say that I've used this in my personal relationships, but I have heard a story where a dad used to ask his son this. He was a single dad, and he used to ask his son, you know, what's something I should start doing as a father? What's something I should stop doing because it's not serving you well? And what's something I should keep doing? And that father attributes those three questions to being the leading factor that allowed his son to really show him how to be a better father, how to be a better parent. And in being able to be a better parent, that allowed him to really help his son succeed. And his son is a guy named Caleb Maddox. And I wouldn't expect you to know of Caleb Maddox, but he's one of the youngest multimillionaires in the world today as a result of some of the businesses he's built. So really interesting hearing that from his father and his use of those three questions. So hopefully that's something that serves you guys. This is a little bit more of a management talk than a marketing talk, but you can absolutely apply this to any element of your marketing or your marketing department or your marketing manager or whatever it might be. We definitely use this within the marketing department, but we use it throughout our entire company. And it's something I've been doing for years. I did it back when I had a painting company. I did it with our international virtual assistant company, did it with our consulting company, and have definitely done it with our tourism organizations as well. So those three questions, if you haven't used them, I would say are very, very powerful questions to incorporate into a regular meeting schedule for yourself and your staff and your company. It will really help you grow and explore possibilities and squash things that are hurting you. All right. I hope you got something out of that podcast. If you did, please leave a review. I read every single review that you guys leave. Because I want to know. I want to know how to improve, how to get better, what you guys are looking at for questions, and then also just looking for feedback. So leave a review. If you leave a review, I will read it. If you want to get hold of us, you can always email me or the team at info@tourismmanagementacademy.com. All right, we'll talk to you guys soon. Cheers.